WNRN is supported by SevillePodcast.com and by Songs, Inc. Videos from this interview are available at youtube.com/WNRN radio.
And now we have got Blitz and Trapper set up in studio. I've got Brian, Eric, and Marty of Blitz and Trapper. Hi, guys.
Hey, how's it going?
Oh, very good. And we're very happy to see you. Thanks for making a stop on your way down to Georgia to see us. We definitely appreciate it. We've got a lot of very excited listeners who are just tuning in for this. It's very mid-20th century to me because people were sad they couldn't see you live, but they're very excited about hearing you live. So it's very early to mid-20th century.
Definitely.
So how's the tour been so far?
It's been really good, actually.
Good.
Yeah, a lot of good crowds and fun shows. And yeah.
It seems to be a good groundswell on this album. I know this is, I think, your fourth album, right?
Yeah.
You put out three on your own and then signed to Sub Pop Records. Have you noticed a bit more of a push or I don't know, a bit of a groundswell on this fourth album?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean...
Yeah, they're good at raising consciousness, you know, as far as music goes.
Oh, the record, yeah.
Sub Sub Pop is...
It seems like a good match for you guys sonically, too, given some of your label mates on Sub Pop. We were talking before we turned on our mics about how you did some dates with Fleet Foxes, and that seems like a great pairing. So you get to rub up against some other good artists, too.
Yeah.
Literally.
It's true. We did about 7 weeks with the Fleet Foxes. That was like a lot of shoulder rubbing.
A lot of rubbing.
So people got a good treat there for that double bill. And you'll have to come back to Charlottesville sometime and actually play a show. But could you share a song with us in studio right now?
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah, this is called Black River Killer.
Well, it was just a little while past the Sunset Strip. I found a girl's body in an open pit. Her mouth was sunshed, but her eyes were still white. Gazing through the fog to the other side. They booked me on a whim and threw me deep in jail. With no bail, sitting silent on a rusted pail. Just gazing at the marks in the opposite wall. Remembering the music of my lover's call, yeah. So you make no mistake, I know just what it takes. Pull a man's soul back from heaven's gates. I've been wandering in the dark about as long as sin. But they say it's never too late to start again. Oh when, will the spirit come a-calling for my soul to send? Oh when, will the keys to the kingdom be mine again? Dark as the grave, it was just about three when the warden with his key came to set me free. They gave me $5 and a secondhand suit, a pistol and a hat and a worn-out flute. So I took the bus down to the Rio Grande and I shot a man down on the edge of town. Then I stole me a horse and I rode it around till the sheriff pulled me in and set me down. He said, you make no mistake, I know just what it takes. Pull a man's soul back from heaven's gates. I've been wandering in the dark about as long as sin. But they say it's never too late to start again. Oh when, will the spirit come a-calling for my soul to send? Oh when, will the keys to the kingdom be mine again? The sheriff let me go with a knife and a song. So I took the first train out to Oregon and I killed the first man that I came upon. Cause the devil works quick, you know it don't take long. And then I went to the river for to take a swim. You know that black river water, it's as black as sin. And I washed myself clean as a newborn babe. Then I picked up a rock for to sharpen my blade. Oh when, will the spirit come a-calling for my soul to send? Oh when, will the keys to the kingdom be mine again? Oh when, will that black river water wash me clean again? Oh when, will the keys to the kingdom be mine again?
WNRN. We are with Blitz and Trapper in studio. That was Black River Killer. About that song, actually, Black River Killer. Eric, I read somewhere that you kind of based that sort of hypothetically on an uncle. I mean, not that he was actually a murderer, I don't think, but could you tell us a little bit about that?
Oh, well, I mean, yeah, he was like in and out of prison my whole life, and yeah, he was just a character. He was a real sweet guy, though.
Not actually the Black River Killer, then.
No, we don't even have a Black River.
So no, it's all mythic and kind
of... Well, I came up with the name of that because at night all rivers are black.
Oh, true.
At least
they
look black.
Yeah.
Well, you're pretty good at spinning yarns, though. I was admiring the very mythic story on your Facebook fan page,
that's
actually. Was that Marty?
Yeah, sorry.
That's brilliantly written and really suitable to you guys, I think, and people should check it out if they haven't done so yet.
Because interviewer mentioned that today, too, actually.
Is like, that the Castro yarn?
It's just the great big creation myth of Blitz and Trapper, and it's very well written and a lot of fun and very suitable as well, I think, for the kind of yarns that you guys spin.
I'll check it out.
Thanks.
Yeah. Yeah. You should definitely read it, Brian.
Tell me more.
I think Marty's got some skills. I think you should maybe put him to work.
I definitely don't pay enough attention to Marty's talents, and
I'm always asking everyone to pay more attention.
I should be more open.
I don't even pay attention to my own talents. That was one of the nice things about putting out records on our own label was that we had the freedom to sort of market and brand the music any way we wanted to. Mm-hmm. And we found that Sub Pop really doesn't care if we continue doing that. So, there'll be more weird tales about
excellent
Blitz and Trapper.
So they're going to let you be who you are, which is a good sign. Yeah. Actually, speaking of weird tales, I have to confess, I had a crazy cold medicine fueled dream about you guys last night that we were conducting this interview on a beach somewhere, and I was telling you that I don't know why, but I was telling you that all the artists that we played at WNRN were inspired by the sea. I'm not sure where that came from, but you told me that you guys were inspired by the forest, and I think there's actually some truth maybe to my cold medicine fueled subconscious there, because it feels like there is a lot of forest imagery in your music, and I was wondering, you know, what kind of sense of place you get from your origins in Oregon. I mean, do you feel like that has a lot to do with the kind of music you make?
Yeah, sure. I mean, there's a lot of forest there.
Yeah, the city of Portland.
There's more forest than people, probably. I mean...
Yeah, there are. And the trees in the forest tend to be... I guess they've been logged less than similar forests out east. So,
yeah.
So there's a certain kind of majesty and quiet and stillness to a lot of the forests out west that can be really powerful. You know, there was a Supreme Court justice named William O. Douglas, who's from my hometown, Yakima, Washington. And he believed that trees should have the same legal rights as human beings.
Really?
Huh. Yeah, this is a U.S. Supreme Court justice.
The guy that named the Douglas fir.
I think that was a different... That was David Douglas.
Douglas MacArthur.
Kirk Douglas.
Well, and that's the same...
True.
So that's the
fact.
Same region that's producing...
Fact.
Same region that's producing stories like fir. And, you know, I do want to come around to the song, obviously, because... I have to tell you guys, it was probably the song that we got the most calls about in 2008. Whenever we played your song for the title track to this most recent album, we could pretty much guarantee we would get one or two calls asking what it was from someone who was just floored by it. Mm. And I know that my experience of it was very similar. The first time I heard it, I proceeded to listen to it on repeat half a dozen times. So I think many, many people in the listening audience are curious about what... You know, what fueled that song? Did the story, was it something that was kind of kicking around in your head for a while, Eric? Or did the song come first and then the story sort of fill in the blanks? Or
I don't know. I wrote that song in I wrote it and recorded it in probably like 2 hours.
Really?
Yeah, so I didn't really give it much thought.
Wow.
And I recorded it long before the record was called for or anything, so it was kind of like I had it and I recorded a bunch of other songs and then we just kind of built the record around it.
Well, well
everybody
done.
Seemed to like it.
Yeah. Yeah, everyone seems to like it here.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of the excitement people had when they found out you were coming in was, you know, fueled by that song initially, and then they discovered the rest of the record, and they seem to have really enjoyed that, too. And we get positive response on other tracks we play, too. But that track in particular, people really respond to in a way that I haven't, you know, seen them do for a while.
Sure.
So
yeah, it's true.
Could you be bothered to share it with us?
to play the song?
Yes,
yeah,
please.
Sure.
Yeah, when I was only 17, I could hear the angels whispering. So I drove into the woods and wandered aimlessly about till I heard my mother shouting through the fog. It turned out to be the howling of a dog, or a wolf to be exact. Sound sent shivers down my back, but I was drawn into the pack, and before long they allowed me to join in and sing their song. So from the cliffs and high still, yeah, we would gladly get our fill, howling endlessly and shrilly at the dawn. And I lost the taste for judging right from wrong. For my flesh had turned to fur, yeah, my thoughts they surely were turned to instinct and obedience to God.
WNRN, we've got Blitz and Trapper in studio. That was Fur, the title track from their most recent album, and one that certainly did it for WNRN in 2008. And I saw a review in the Boston Herald that really caught my attention, because the writer started off by saying, "Powerful is the band that can appeal to both hipsters and hippies." And that song kind of encapsulates that for me, because we tend to have here at WNRN some hippies in the morning. We get a bit folky in the morning, and then in the afternoon we sort of merge more into the hipster territory, and yet there you were, bridging the gap very beautifully for us. So
like the Rhesus pieces.
Yeah, you got your hippie and my hipster.
Right. You've got your hipster and my hippie.
It turns out that it's a combination that can coexist as peacefully as chocolate and peanut butter.
Yeah, yeah, they're called hippie hipsters.
Hipsters.
It's a whole new demographic that you're carving out that's going to be big in 2009, I think.
Was that intentional, Eric?
No.
Hey, it could be very marketable. Maybe that's why the major indies swooped in and scooped you guys up just in time.
Maybe.
I also, you know, the sound that really does appeal to people. And I know that because it has and because it's been such a popular album for you, you maybe have even pushed off album 5 for a while, I read. Or I know that I read somewhere you have a lot of material that you are kind of waiting to work on, but you're still sort of, this album still has legs on it. So are you going to try and bring out a fifth album in 2009? Or are you going
to
wait
till...
I'd
like to. I don't know. It's up to Sub Pop, kind of. I mean...
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, I'm making one.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been making it. And all the songs are written. I mean, I guess. I don't know. I never really stopped. So...
Yeah.
It's just a matter of what songs will be on the next record out of all the songs that I record, so...
Have you already gone in studio a bit, or...?
Oh, yeah. All of January.
Oh, excellent.
Yeah.
So, well, I mean, I think our listeners are ready for more, but I guess it's up to you guys, and you should sort of enjoy this ride as long as you can, too, I suppose.
Yeah.
And one other thing I wanted to ask you, people love to speculate about your influences, and they go pretty far afield in them. You hear Grateful Dead comparisons a lot. I also saw Pavement mentioned a couple times, but I didn't see anyone actually ask you who your musical influences are, and I was wondering about that. Who are you listening to now, or who do you think really was sort of a formative listening experience for you as a young writer?
Oh, I don't know. I mean, there's tons of them.
We listened to 3 Elton John records yesterday.
That was not my choice.
No?
But it was kind of... I like some... Hockey Chateau, that's a good record.
Hockey Chateau is a good one.
That's what we listened to yesterday. Today, what we were listening to.
We were listening to Alila Diane, who we're on tour with.
Oh, right, yeah.
And that's, yeah, her record's great.
Yeah, it's a fantastic record.
Yeah, really
I think,
good.
You know, when you're on the road with musicians that you can get into and identify with, they kind of end up influencing you probably more than anything else, because you
that's
see
true,
this
yeah.
show every single night for a month, and you know, no matter how good recordings are, a live show, if it's good, it's going to hit you in the tender spots in your heart a little bit easier. So
I mean, as far as influences, it's just, I mean, you know, all the big ones from the 70s, Dylan, Neil Young, Beatles, all of them. I mean,
Zeppelin.
Well, there's a lot of 70s in this record, in the past one too.
Yeah, I think more in this one. Nation had a lot more like sort of Sonic Youth, Pavement influences, probably kind of more punk rock stuff, as well as Field Rex before that had a lot of kind of And then as a kid, I was really into like R.E.M. and Nirvana and stuff like that.
So the very disparate sounds coming out of the album makes sense then, because you have a lot of disparate influences. Do you sense yourself going in a decidedly different direction, or just continuing on right now with the kind of sound that you've hammered out for yourselves?
I mean, it's hard to say. I mean, there'll be a lot of hard rock and country music and folk music on the next record, and electronic stuff. I mean, I don't know. Our records are all full of all kinds of different things, so...
Hey, big palettes are good, too.
Yeah.
Sweet. Well, we have time for one more song, if you wouldn't mind sharing one.
Okay. Should we Lady on the Water?
Yeah.
Okay. Are you going to play the...
I'll do the...
Okay, cool. We're going to do Lady on the Water.
Okay.
This song will feature Marty Marquis playing the melodica.
Yeah.
All right.
My lady on the water, make me rich, make me poor. Lay your flowers at my door. Lady on the water, bring me branches, bring me twine. Grab my heart upon the vine with your wine. Now my feather says the cock crows giving time. Go to wake my lady on the water, share my bread and share my drink. Pay no mind what others think. Lady on the water, whip this wind to flame with your grapes and bottled rain. Make your wine of my worship a divinely strange refrain. Gonna make it rain. Mm-hmm.
balm upon my tongue. Weave a song no one has heard. Lady on the water with your jacket blue and strange. Change these rivers in my veins into wine. Burning, burning, driven deep into this maze. All of my days. On the water, lead me from the wilderness through countless deserts, dreams, and jest. Lady on the water, place your head upon my chest. Leave me only when I'm blessed. I'll be in my own country, good and dead and gone to rest. That's the way, that's the
WNRN. That was Blitz and Trapper with Lady on the Water from their most recent album, Fur. Gentlemen, thank you very much for coming in, stopping by on your way down to Georgia.